Hello and welcome to The Social Live. I'm your host, Christopher Gallagher, and today I am joined by the one, the only, the stats man. It's Christian Wolf. Hello, Christian. How are you?
Hello, Christopher, but I think I'm more than stats, to be honest. You know, it's more facets to me.
So what's happened is I've not had the time to prep Christian with his equipment, and his mic's not on, is it? So, there he goes. We can just use this to get used to the fact that you don't see what happens going on behind the scenes just as I'm set to record, where someone's equipment's not working. Are you in, Christian?
Of course I'm in. Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
I just want to say, I'm more than stats, I'm also incapable to do basic audio equipment.
that's the one. How the hell are you, Christian Wolf? It's good to hear from you.
It's good to see you. It's good to be live. No, I'm well. I'm working from home today, which is good. This is my lunch hour. I feel like I'm back on the lunch club.
Oh,
just for a slightly younger host.
Yes. Oh, thank you. Thank you. And not as Italian or Canadian whatever. Well, who fucking knows? But no, it's a real pleasure to be here. We are doing this live. This is streaming live. There's also a podcast. You're probably listening to the podcast version. We're recording at 11:30 in the morning. There is an option to Zoom in and ask questions, but we're both very aware that it's 11:30. So from that point of view, a lot of people will be working and such. We'll try and do these maybe at different times, kind of find that sweet spot of when people are available. But it's good to just, I think, just do it at this point to, you know, give some people something to listen to, even if they're at work.
Look, if you really want to phone in, you'll make time. You know, it's a two-way thing. You have to put a bit of effort in, I think.
Hey, Christian, I love it. That's the sassy attitude you're known for. Are you known for having a sassy attitude? But let's get into it. Celtic 2, Ferencvaros 0. How are you feeling about that, Christian?
Christopher, I feel good. I think it was... the word a lot of people use is controlled, and I think that's fair. But controlled always gives a sense of being slow or maybe not as all-out attacking, which is yes, but I think it was controlled in a way that Celtic followed, you know, the process, trust the process. That they kept doing what they've been asked to do by the manager. And I'm sure we're going to go in a little bit in terms of, you know, different halves and what happened and so on. But I think overall it was controlled is a good word, because it showed a system that is slowly working. It shows that some players are still adapting to it, and the system can be better with the players that are there, but they can also be a lot better with other players coming in. But yeah, I think overall that was... In the last couple of days, like a couple of games, you know, 2-0s, they've been kind of slightly a similar path, and I think it's encouraging overall, yeah.
Yeah, we've got Paul Gibson, who has he's sitting in the waiting room, and we'll get to you, Paul, in just a second. I think that, you know, as Celtic fans, I was thinking about this recently, as Celtic fans, we've been kind of spoiled by... kind of managers coming in and hitting the ground running. I think specifically about Martin O'Neill and Brendan Rodgers, who are two modern, no matter what's happened with...
Ronnie Dyla, obviously, famously, a great start. So
yeah, that loss at Inverness after his fourth game was great. Yes, but no, what I mean is, like, these kind of high-profile managers coming in and hitting the ground running, I used to think that was how it works, when in actual fact they are the outliers, like those guys coming in and making things happen instantly. It becomes a bit of a mythos with Celtic fans, in that we just assume everything's going to be great with a new manager, when in reality it doesn't really work like that.
If you're a new subscriber, we did an interview with a guy called Eddie Schmidt a few months ago, and he works in German football and he works in Swiss football. But what he kind of said, often there's a sweet spot. If you have a good team under a good manager, but that's kind of come to an end, there's often a sweet spot straight after that when a new manager comes in, because you still have the good things about the last manager in the system, but you maybe have got somebody who brings some of their own ideas in, and then kind of it'll settle down. Or if the new manager isn't that very good, it'll start to deteriorate. But you have kind of like, change is sometimes good, and you get a couple of fresh ideas, and you often get that start. But I think the real test of a new manager is yeah, it probably does come a little bit further in, especially if they're, you know, following a successful manager.
Yeah, we'll come to that. Let's bring in Paul and see what Paul's bringing to the party, bringing to the social scene. There's Paul. It's connecting to audio. We're getting there. Big Paul Gibble. Let's see. Connected to audio. Hello, Paul. How are you?
Good morning. How are you? Both of you well?
Not too bad, sir. Not too bad.
Good.
How are you feeling?
I will see. Sorry, Paul, to jump in. I have a tendency to jump in. But this is exciting because I feel like I'm on a radio show and you're like my first ever live caller. So
hold on a minute.
I've got high expectations.
Our first ever live caller, Christian. This isn't the fun hour with Christian Wolfe, okay? This is the social.
First time I've been on,
a couple
so.
Of weeks ago with the biscuit tin episode.
That's exactly.
Thanks, Paul.
Christian,
you keep him right, Paul.
Paul, talk us through it. How are you feeling?
Brilliant. Long time listener. A year or so. Really enjoy all the variety of podcasts. Start with that. But it's good. There's some good details, Stephen and Christian and Aaron, with the stats, which is really interesting. I like to follow that up with graphics and on the website. The peep up was brilliant. That's so much fun. And the live reaction last night was tremendous, I've got to say. Oh. I don't get to go to the games. I've got four daughters, and usually when there's football on, there's a dance on, or a birthday party, or somebody's going to the park. So I don't think I've been in a game for about 10 or 11 years, in all honesty. So it's great hearing the reaction last night. I really enjoyed that. Some guys that were at the game and then out of the pub having a few beers, and it was good fun.
Fantastic.
So all in all, it's well worth the money. And if there's anybody that's going to be listening to this, if it's a free podcast and folk aren't subscribers as yet, I would recommend doing it, because it's well worth the money. Quick couple of points, probably start with fullbacks. I was hoping that given the players that we had available, so we have Ralston, we have Abada, on the left you had Monty, Captain Horney or Jota, who wouldn't have been away during the international break. I was hoping to get more from them as kind of partnerships and pairs. And I think, I don't know what you guys' thoughts are, but I think we kind of missed a trick in not pairing them up or seeming to get more from the fullbacks going forward over the last couple of games. I think last night's performance was great as a whole. But that's the first point. And then the second point, maybe just jump back into the goalkeeper line if we get what you think on that.
Cool. Yeah, great. Lovely. That's a really interesting point about kind of pairing people up. I've always kind of thought about, you know, the idea of, defences. Like in American football, they do it where, like, they have specific, you know, centre-back pairings, like, working together and, you know, all that sort of stuff. What's your thoughts on the fullbacks and how that those, what we got from them last night, as Paul says?
I have a lot of thoughts about fullbacks, Paul.
Jesus Christ.
Probably a whole podcast worth, but I think yesterday, reaction yesterday was a lot of fun, but I do have some notes about some of the comments. I think yesterday, to start on the left-hand side, I think Montgomery was okay yesterday. I think the criticism of Montgomery yesterday was a little bit harsh. You know, watching the game back, I thought he's one of a cluster of left-back himself and Bolingoli and probably Liam Scales as well, who are all probably a decent level. And I think Montgomery's age, his potential is absolutely there. But I also think it's very clear, while a lot of people don't like him too much, that Greg Taylor has been an enormous miss in this team. And Greg Taylor is quietly really important cog in this machinery in terms of his understanding of the system. And he's got deficiencies, absolutely. But I think he's absolutely the best fit when it comes to the fullback on the left-hand side. Anthony Ralston is, and I know this, like, we always say God love him, and then you follow up some of the criticism. He is really, really not a good footballer. And that's not to say he doesn't have moments, Gal. I think you pointed out rightly on the reaction yesterday in terms of his last-ditch clearances and so forth. He's very much a box defender. He's back to the wall, and it looks like he's trying really hard all the time because he constantly looks tired. He puts a lot of shift in, but he is really not, especially on the ball, really not a good footballer. And he's not a good fit for
that. That's
it.
I
wouldn't even have him as his second choice.
To say he's not a good footballer, I think, is a bit over the top.
It's better than me.
He's not good enough at this level, but to say he's not a good footballer, I think, is incredibly harsh.
Well, I think it's also correct, to be honest with you, because this is a player who's wasn't even good enough to be third choice right back for Celtic.
I don't think he's good. I don't think he's good enough for Celtic. But to say he's not a good footballer, I think is mental. I think he'll go and have a good career somewhere else.
He tried to go and have a good career somewhere else in the Premiership, and he hasn't failed. I think we give Anthony Ralston, he should be given a lot of credit for what he's trying to do in the position he's put into. But let's not beat around the bush. He is really, really not.
He's very limited. He's very limited.
He's very limited, and he should be nowhere near the squad. So if people come and say, okay, it's okay to have him as a backup. No, your backup needs to be somebody who can come in and potentially on the day improve the first team, or at least have a path. So say if Juranovic leaves, has a good season this season and leaves at the summer, you're back at square one. Your backup right back needs to be somebody who can potentially step in as a first teamer. So I think the limitations in Anthony Ralston is in a one way overlooked. And it's like a nice story and it's a good story. He's come in, but he's not very good.
I don't think, I would say that I think Ralston, I never wanted him to sign that contract. I never wanted him in the first team. I still don't think he's good enough. But I think that he's done well. And I think this has revitalised his career in terms of, I think he'll go somewhere else and do well. I don't care where he goes when he leaves Celtic, frankly. But I agree with you. I don't think he's good enough for Celtic. I think Greg Taylor is probably the worst footballer I've ever seen in my life, but we'll leave that to the side. I think Taylor, for me personally, Taylor and Juranovic is kind of, I said this in the reaction, it's kind of like the reset for this defence, because I think those two with Carter Vickers, Starfelt and Hart, I'm really looking forward to how that unit works. And if we turn up at Ibrox with that back five, I'll be very happy, because I think that's the best that we have before we go in. What's your thoughts on Bolly? Paul, talk us through it.
There's a player in there, but he doesn't have the mental capability, I don't think, to play at Celtic. I don't mean that from his exploits last year. I mean that he switches off. So you always said about Celtic goalkeepers and goalkeepers at the elite level, when they're playing in top-class teams, you've got to be fully focused. Bolly switches off the handball for starters last weekend at Motherwell. When there's always a moment in him where you know that he just thinks, I can play this pass through an eye of a needle, but there's three players and six legs there that you just can't get it through. And he switches off at that moment. That's the biggest problem. I think what he's done last year, everybody gets a clean slate. It's a new manager. Forget about what happened in that season. So if his ability is there, if he can concentrate, if he can train his mind to be focused on the game at hand, and not standing looking at the lights or looking at the folk in the crowd thinking he might be good for a trip to Spain, for example, I think if he just switched his head on, he could be number one for us, for this season anyway. I think the fact is Taylor understands the position. I think Taylor knows where to stand in the park when he's coming in as the inverted fullback, when he's sitting in between midfield and defence, he knows where to stand. And there's a couple of times last night where I was watching it on the iPad, and you can see the space that was in behind where Montgomery is, because he's came in and he's forgot to go back outside as well. So I think on the left-hand side, I think Taylor is probably number one at the moment. But if Bolly really concentrated, he could take that, because he's good going forward, he's pacey, and he can put a challenge in, but he just has that moment where he switches off. On the right-hand side, I think Nelson's done incredibly well this season, but he's slipping back into his old habits. So he got the shiny new toy. This is what you are. You're an inverted fullback. Concentrate. Know where you should be. Go forward when you go forward. Strike the 1-2s up. Little triangles. Try and play passes. And he does that. But then you see him, he's breathing out his backside with 25 minutes to go. And then on the flip side of that, the tackle he made last night was excellent, just after the goal, because it really would have put us on a massive negative had we lost a goal pretty much from kickoff. So he was switched on at that point. I think for a lot of the boys at the defence, it is all about working as a unit. And at the moment, it probably will be Taylor, Starfelt, CCV and Juranovic once he's fit. And if that back five get the run of games throughout November, throughout December, and we go to Ibrox, to me, anything within 6 points is a given that we'll make a fist of it later on in the season, because I think we'll get a couple of midfielders, and if we need to strengthen in other places, we'll strengthen. I don't think we'll lose too much from our starting 11 in January. So I think that back five, and that probably would lead on to the second point about how influential Joe Hart has been.
Yeah.
regardless of what anybody thinks of him beforehand, he's come up here and he's embraced the club. And it generally, he is switched on. He gets what the club is about, but he talks to people. And I think it's a communication. I think that's what keeps him as a keeper switched on, is that he's always talking to the fullbacks, the centre-halves, centre-mids or forwards when they're back for corners, defending free kicks. He's always talking and it keeps him going. And he's been such a strong character, I think, this season from what I've seen. And there was a cracking wee interview last night after the match, and I seen it on one of the socials, and he basically came out and said, yep, I done okay, but what about the two centre-halves? They were brilliant tonight, absolutely brilliant. And that's what you really enjoy. You can see there's a team spirit that's been missing for a little while, and hopefully it's coming back, and hopefully we get a good first 11, good run with injuries, no suspensions, and a decent bench to pick from as well. Because the last two games when subs have come on, I think, the managers made them at the right time, but the subs have come on and made an impact, which you probably couldn't have said in games against Dundee United or Livingston, etc. beforehand.
Brilliant stuff. Well put as well, I have to say, Paul. Christian, do you want to shit on Paul's point of view as you do with all of our points of view these days?
No need for that, because there was good points for Paul there, I think, especially on Joe Hart. I think you're right, Paul, in terms of Hart's contribution. It's very much an off-pitch one as well, and it's difficult for us to sit here and quantify, okay, how is this person stressing, how is contribution positive and so on. But you can, as you say, I think he's come in and he's, you know, there was issues, you know, he's maybe a slightly bit of a joke figure before in some of the clips of him, but I think you're absolutely right. I think he's come in. It's always good to have somebody like that who can stand up, be vocal, essentially a little bit of our experience there. And I think he's been a positive impact, especially off the field, as you said, the communication. And it was obviously clear that for whatever reason, you know, there wasn't much. I think the centre-backs last season felt a big difference going from Fraser Forster and their confidence in him, and then in Barkinson Bain. I think the only thing I would say about Joe Hart to be careful about is not take that absolutely positive contribution he's done off the pitch and then apply that to everything he does on the pitch. You know, again, I think he's saves yesterday were, sorry Gal, vastly overrated on the reaction. You know, there are two very, very basic saves, and there is a danger in using that kind of narrative that he's come in, he's improved the position, absolutely, he's an off-pitch person, and then says everything he does on the pitch is great, because it's not. You know, he's been
you can't fine criticize
this season.
You can't criticize him.
Hold on. He's had a couple of good saves, but still there's lots of issues with his distribution, and there's also a lot of, I think, too much emphasis being made on the type of saves he has done. And he's had a couple of big howlers as well. He's an improvement on Barkinson Bain. I think he's a really good positive influence outside of pitch. But let's not paint everything in a narrative that everything he does on the pitch has been great, because it hasn't.
I don't think we're saying that. I think
there's a danger of that narrative being spun a lot.
You know, I think the biggest thing Joe Hart, for me personally, has brought is an assurance. And again, it probably is. He brings probably more from not even from a technical goalkeeping standpoint, but there's just a certain level of, you know, reliability in him. And it's, yeah, I know he's clearly got flaws. He's up here at 34, or not 34, like 32, 33. Like, he would ideally be playing his final football in the Premier League. We get it, of course. There's no player that we have that isn't flawed. You know, that, of course, that comes with it. But I think he's doing well. And I don't think that, maybe, do you know what, maybe there is a certain recency bias in terms of the goalkeepers last season were so dreadful and so bad that anything that Hart does we're going to be over the moon about. But see, just now, I'm happy with that. Paul, it's been a pleasure, sir.
Thank you very much. Nice to speak to you both.
Thanks. All the best. Thanks for getting involved.
Take care.
Lovely stuff.
Bye-bye.
Good stuff. Good start. We've got Alistair Young is waiting in the waiting room, so let's bring him in. Spiky, we've been spiky today. He's not even at his bloody chair.
Alistair,
where are you?
An empty chair. It's a good chair. There's a dog. There he is. Aqua Al,
of course it is. How the bloody hell are you, Aqua Al?
Living the dream, gents. How are you guys?
Not too bad. Yeah, doing not too bad. Having a bit.
Well, do you have your own boardroom? Is that where you're sitting?
I have my own boardroom. Yes,
looks amazing.
It does. I mean, it does look like a boardroom. Looks terrific. How are you, Aqua? Talk us through your thoughts.
I think we're doing better than I thought, particularly after from a month back. I think we've improved dramatically. I can't believe the difference Joe Hart's made.
Love it.
I wasn't a fan at all. I really didn't want him at the club. But I tell you, I like everything so far. I like his command of the defence. I think he's a solid keeper. He's a dramatic improvement what we've got. So, yep, really happy with that. Should, this is my question for you guys, should Anthony Ralston get a new deal just now? He's theoretically free in December, or in January, I should say.
You've not listened to the first question, have you, Aqual?
Yeah, the first question. What was the first question?
It was about Anthony Ralston, and Christian went through.
So is that working, guys? So has that been in the waiting room? So
of course. Of
it's
course.
Been in the green room. Don't you apologise to him, Aquile. I think on Anthony Ralston, if it's up to me, no. Because I don't think, as you know, as I said before, I don't think he's the required level of a Celtic right back. Because if you want somebody to be a backup of Celtic, as I said, they need to be able to either be on a path, so when the first choice leaves, you can potentially put them in, usually a younger player, or they maybe need to be of a certain level, certain experience that they can come in and you won't notice much difference. Anthony Ralston is way below the standards Celtic need to have. And God love him, as he always says. You know, he's done what's required of him, but his ceiling is where he is at the moment. And I would, only reason why you would consider extending his contract is it's the same reason you extend this contract. This isn't, there's nobody else. But yeah, no, I would bring another right back in as a backup to Juranovic.
What's your thoughts on that, Aqual? Because obviously January's round the corner. Would you be keen to give Ralston a new deal?
I think I'd give him another short-term deal. I don't agree with Christian. I don't think he'll ever likely be our primary right back. I think he is good enough to be our backup right back, getting 6 to 10 games a season. I think there's enough growth being shown. I think that probably the crossing's not good enough. I think the heart's in the right place, the fitness level's in the right place. Tactically, he seems to be listening to the manager, and I think that's a plus in terms of growth. So I think he's done enough. When you think of where he was 6 months ago, I mean, he made a mockery of by our own fans. You know, yeah. He had a disastrous spell on loan. But I think everything we knew about Ange before he came in, which was not a lot in my case, to be honest, was about how he could grow players. And I see sufficient growth that I think he's worthy of another short-term deal as a backup only. You could ask yourself whether he could learn a lot from Juranovic as well, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, let me ask you this, Christian. Not from your point of view, do you think Ange Postecoglou will give him a new deal if it was up to him?
Possibly. I mean, Ange sees this better than us. And I do wonder, though, if he had a right-sided Adam Montgomery at kind of that age, would he be playing instead of Ralston? There is literally nobody else. And I kind of get... I do feel generally bad about, you know, saying these things about Ralston, because it is a lovely story and he's kind of living his dream and he's putting every single effort into it. I just don't think that if you're not good enough to be first choice for Celtic, you're not good enough to be second choice. Obviously, with caveat, you can have a young player and they're quite not up to speed. See, if you're not good enough as first choice, you're not good enough as second enough. I think that's the level of recruitment and squad management we need to have to be better.
I don't see that, Christian, to be honest. Are the stats backing that up? You know, the detailed stats that you're looking at?
Look, Aqual, I use my eyes, mate.
Oh, here we go. About the get stats. The narrative. Change the narrative.
I think, especially when it comes to the mid-break, we'll do a proper stats evaluation of all the players because we have a good sample then as well. And look, Ralston's stats are, as most fullbacks in Celtic offensively, are pretty good. Absolutely. I really just don't think he's of the required quality and he'll ever be there.
Oh, the heel turn on stats. Incredible. I can't believe we've seen it. You've just kicked stats through the barbershop window. In regards to, see, the what I would say about Ralston, I always kind of go back to when James Forrest had Patrick Roberts breathing down his neck, and that really improved James Roberts, James Forrest's performances, because he knew if he made a mistake or if he wasn't to the required level, someone would come and take his place. What I want, and to back Christian's point up, would be I want 22 players who are vying for that each position. And I'm not sure that having Ralston, you know, Juranovic really going to worry about his place being taken? I'm not necessarily sure. I'm not particularly happy with, you know, shitting on Ralston, but at the same time, it's about quality and it's about long-term. We were talking yesterday after the reaction about, you know, pathways and long-term kind of planning for, we talked about Bayern Munich and, you know, Liam Morrison and such. And those guys will be down pathways from a professional standpoint that will set them up in good stead if they don't make it at Bayern Munich. Anthony Ralston, when he leaves Celtic, it'll be a case of, where next? You know, I'm not convinced that we do enough with our players to give them the opportunity to develop, and that culture needs to change, and I think and hopefully it will change under Ange. That, you know, players who maybe aren't good enough or haven't developed the way you'd want to, why have they not developed? What can we change? What can we do? Your final thoughts, Aqual?
Yeah, I see some of the feedback you're giving me here, guys. My thoughts are that giving him a short-term deal is still the right move. We should invest more in a left-back, a backup, or in the left-back this year, and worry about the right-back backup problem next year. That's my views.
Love it.
And as you know, Aqual, like, the recruitment process at Celtic is so faulty. So, in the ideal scenario, you wouldn't maybe have to give Anthony Ralston a backup or a contract because you'd have somebody else, you know, either coming through Academy or somebody else. But as you say, the way this recruitment system is still structured and the way it's done is still seems very scattergun and haphazard. And I think that's what's the reason why you have to give some players, you maybe ideally don't want to keep, but you have to give them contracts because I wouldn't really trust who they might bring in otherwise. So, yeah, but that's a whole bigger discussion as well.
This has been an absolute pleasure, sir.
It's good to see you again, man.
Keep up the brilliant work, guys. I love the podcasts. Listen to the dog walks every day, and it'll be great to see you both physically at some point.
I was going to say, the next pod we do live, we expect to see you again.
Yeah.
Thank you both up here.
Awesome.
Take it easy, guys.
You too. Take care, Aqua. What a guy. Bloody love Aquil. Well, probably
he is, if you meet him in person, he is a huge man.
Yeah,
he's very commanding. He's like Joe Hart.
By the way, see, that's why when he said I disagree with you, Christian, you didn't go, what are you talking about? You just went, okay, that's fine.
In the pub, I was just like, yeah, great point, Al. Yeah.
Aqua was a great guy. On the live stuff, we might have some news soon. Couple of weeks. So
hello.
Keep an ear out, keep an eye out. We'll let you know on socials, we'll let you know on the Discord and emails, etc. We've got Ken waiting, Ken Walsh, another big...
another legend.
Another legend of the subscription service. Sorry,
Paul. Well, bring him in. I was going to say as well, I felt a bit bad. Cause I thought the performance yesterday was really good. We can maybe talk a bit more about it. And I think Ralston and Hart should probably come about two players. Still have some discussion about it, but I think there was so much good stuff yesterday, so we can hopefully come on to that as well.
It sounded like you hate Celtic. also, I want us to discuss, we'll bring Ken in, but afterwards, can we talk briefly about short corners?
Yeah, can we please? Because I have a lot to say about that as well.
Anyway,
let's
bring Ken Ken Walsh, Mr. Walsh. Let's bring him in. Oh, there he is.
Oh, there he is. Oh,
hello, Mr. Walsh.
Chris, how are you?
Not too bad, sir. How are you?
Not too bad yourself. I'm good this morning. Yeah, how you doing, Christian?
I'm good, mate. How are you? It's good to see you live.
You too. Yeah, I'm tired this morning after the long hours trip yesterday.
Yeah, you were over from the
Sorry,
game.
My dog is trying to get in.
Love it. You were over for the game yesterday, yeah?
Yeah, I flew to Edinburgh because the prices are crazy when I Meant to try to get through Glasgow, so Edinburgh was quite cheap. Nice little trip in on the bus. So.
Brilliant.
It was a long old day.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Lovely.
Talk us through your thoughts.
On last night, or everything.
Yeah, just whatever you want.
Now, the way things are going, I'm happy. Look, I look at it as Ange came in, everything was messed up throughout the summer and last year, so we have to look forward to it, and we have to know that the change is happening, you know what I mean? And the support, we want it quick, you know, that sort of way. Like, if you see me at matches, like, through the first half last night, I'd be going absolutely nuts, you know, that sort of way. That was I sent the question in because I didn't think I'd be able to get on, like, live. But Christian, like looking at the game last night in the first half, like, you could see that Kyogo wanted the ball to his feet and in that space every time. And he just didn't want to give it to him. And I was just wondering why. It's just so frustrating looking at the game. And about it, might as well have just sat on the bench because he was over-hugging the line for the whole first half and he'd done absolutely nothing, you know, the sort of way. So that's just my question. Like, looking at games and when I'm at them live, obviously when you're at them live, it's a completely different scenario because you can see the whole pitch and watching it on your television and you notice what's going on more, you know, the sort of way. But going back to my overall view, I'm just happy. I'm happy to be in there. I don't think, I know you keep on saying it, but this stay within 6 points of that mob, you know what I mean? I think be on top of them, you know what I mean? Don't let them away with anything.
Yeah.
Let them, like, they are going to slip up big time. I switched off their match on Saturday because for the last 10 minutes of their game, you know what I mean, just to see. And to watch McGregor's blunder, I tell you, I've never danced around me sitting room so much in my life. It was unbelievable. And to see him going nuts, you know what I mean? I just said, look, we have that mob on toast this season because Gerrard, in my view, you know what I mean? Look, when I talk to a lot of Liverpool supporters in the pub, I drink in, good footballer, but he hasn't got a clue as a manager, you know what I mean? Whatever your man's name, Beale is, beside him, you can see him, especially if you're looking at them, which I look at it, if they're on, because I have the IPTV, so I have that on television, I just lower it down and watch it. You see, when the camera goes to the side, Beale is doing all the talking. Gerrard is just like a mannequin standing there, nodding his head, you know what I mean, screaming and doing whatever. He honestly hasn't got it. We have a manager this season that has something in him. We as support just need to get on top of it and believe in it, you know, that sort of way. Look, we don't have the players sometimes for the system this season, but I'm well on board. And I think going into the derby on January, I think we'll be ahead of them.
Oof.
I honestly do, you know what I mean? Oof. I honestly do. Look, it's coming together. You can see it's coming together the way they want to play. It's just, unfortunately, when you look at the games, that brilliant for the first 20, well, last night they weren't brilliant. In my opinion, for the first 20 minutes last night, I thought they were all over the place. But they seemed to run out of steam for the last 10 or 15 minutes in each half. You know, the sort of way where the game slows down. And if we can just get the players that we can keep that momentum up with the ball zipping around that park all over the place, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, even Starfelt last night was throwing forward passes and they were coming off, you know what I mean? I think Scales would be a better option. I don't follow Irish football, so I don't know anything about him. But looking at him last night, he has something about him. I think he would have been a better option than Montgomery. Whatever Ange doesn't see, he's the manager. So I'll always cheer whoever's on the pitch. I heard the first question there with your Ballingolly. Look, he's a Celtic player, so I'll cheer him when he's on the pitch. You know what I mean? When he's off the pitch, I'll fucking scream at him, give out about him all the time. You know what I mean? But 100%, once we're playing in the hoops, they're all mine. You know, that sort of way. So
yeah,
I just love, as you know, look, I rant and rave a lot on Twitter, mostly when I'm pissed down my head about the team. I don't like giving out about them. I took your advice and I went off for 2 weeks and I went back on it yesterday when I was coming over. You just need to break away from every now and again because some people's views are absolutely just bonkers.
Yeah, it's a bit of becoming a bit of a toxic place, Twitter, unfortunately. It's not the kind of medium it was a while ago. But let's, Christian, break through some of what Ken's saying. Kyogo, I noticed it myself, Ken, making some really great runs, just not being picked up. Obviously, we've talked about Turnbull's kind of, you know, his movement being a little bit slower in terms of actually getting the ball out from his feet. Rodic can't do everything himself. What's your thoughts?
No, I think I agree in terms of Kyogo's. I know so you get a better view of this when you're underground, but even if you, when you watch on TV, you can see Kyogo's expression. You know, the runs he's making, he doesn't get the ball. He can always get a bit frustrated sometimes. And I think that is essentially, it's a couple of things. It's still in mid-October. This is a system that will, players still need to get used to each other. They need to get used to each other's run. I think the point around one of my main issues, and we'll come back on the first half a little bit later, but one of my main issues in terms of Celtic's attacking play season has been in some players do take, for me, too many touches on the ball.
Yeah.
And they are bit too cumbersome, and there is
ability
to kind of at least see runs, and it doesn't have to be a defense plating pass, but it's kind of if somebody makes a run, get the ball back. But what it does is obviously, you know, encourages your striker to keep making those runs and so on. And but what I thought happened in the first half yesterday, I think the first half has a real value yesterday in terms of French Forest stay quite low, you know, they're not that attack, but with Celtic, we talked about the word control before, but I think Celtic don't create a lot of chances in the first half yesterday. What they do, they get into some decent positions, often behind the fence out on the wing. They keep stretching them, Ken, and you said, you know, Carlton Wickers had a couple of passes, he tried behind a couple of goals, Starfield had the same, Jota was on the ball a lot, Kyogo makes the runs. And what that did in the first half, I think, and I'm kind of backing Ange up here, which is probably a safe position to take, but that is, French Forest had to do a lot of work in that first half. And they were a well-drilled team, as we talked about on the team talk, but they were pulled and pushed all over the pitch. So while Celtic's first half didn't create lots of chances, and French Forest had a couple of scary moments, I think the work you put in the first half has a direct correlation to what happens in the second half, where they kind of get a bit more space and they keep pulling, they keep doing what Ange wants them to do. Keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it. Make them tired. We don't stop, Ken. Opposition can stop. We stop and celebrate afterwards on the bus back to Edinburgh. And so, because we won. And I think that's what happens. I think what they don't really get to lots of chances in the first half, what they do is very important for what happens in the second half. And Kyogo is you know, a big part of that, as you say.
Yeah, I agree completely, and I'm glad you said about the team talk, because I was listening to that, and I put a tweet out on there, because I only joined the Discord recently. Like, you scared the shit out of me, the Pairdies, you know, the sort of way you're like saying, like, I was looking at them, they're a good team. I forgot we actually played them last season. Well, I don't remember yesterday, let alone what teams we played last season. So, but when yous were talking, and it was amazing, for the first 10 minutes I was looking, and I said to myself, Jesus, Russell and Christian got this right, the way they wanted to play. They were looking at the ball, and they at times kept hitting along, but thankfully their forward line hadn't got a clue, and it was just running out, and their defence actually played really well last night. You're looking at them, they're starting to, CCV and Starfield are starting to get it together, you know, that sort of way. Okay, we can give out about Ralph and all we want, but as me, I'd love to be in that position there and playing for Celtic, you know, that he's happy, he got a 1-year contract, he's probably the only player that can, until the other fella comes back, I'm not going to try even pronounce his name, and cement his place at right back, you know what I mean? So we have to put up a Ralston, you know, the sort of way. It's just, I was looking at it actually, because thinking about it coming back on the bus last night, like trying to look at the game again, back in my head, saying, look, we could have been 4 or 5 up in that second half alone. But as you said, listening to you saying it, I suppose they have to get the feel of the game, get the feel of the players. But as I said, there are times where Kyogo was just wide open and they're not giving to him. And I seen that goal again this morning. And like I'm just behind the goal for the goal. So you don't really see that quick pass. The ball that Yota gave through was unbelievable. And Kyogo's first touch was sublime. He just killed it in the stride and then just buried it in the back of the net. You know, the sort of way. If he even forget about European games. We should be doing that in domestically so much quicker, because then those defences wouldn't have a clue what was going on. You know what I mean? So then,
I think, as you say, you know, it's not, as I said, not just about defence splitting passes, but it's about working the defence. It's about working them. And I think that's what happened yesterday. What you say about Kyogo's run, I think a lot of said about David Turnbull, and I think always he's got good qualities. But over the last few games, that has very much annoyed me when I watch Celtic, in terms of Turnbull always needs 2, 3, 4 touches, and he does a spin as well. And he got the technique, I think, and the passing technique to make those passes. But Rutschig can't be a bit lumbersome on the ball as well. But I always feel there's more of a purpose when Tom Rutschig has the ball.
I agree, yeah, I agree.
And Jota, I think, is got a nice mix of what I like about Jota is the ball sticks to him like glue. Now you can say, does it take a few many touches sometimes? I don't know, maybe occasionally, but at least he's you can't get the ball off him, and he's got the ability to see those passes as he did yesterday. That goal yesterday, Ken, there's only one word for it. That was world class.
It was.
And it's not. It goes even back before the pass. The way Jota combines to get out, the way he sees the run, the way he executes the pass, which is phenomenal, but also see the run from Puyogo, see his first touch and then his finish. Every single thing about that is absolutely world class, and it shows you the potential of those two players. They're not world class players just now I draw them, but they have in their best moments the potential to be almost as good as anybody, you know. So that was an astonishing goal.
Sorry, Chris.
We're running out of time, Kane, unfortunately.
Sorry, yeah, I know. That's me. When I wanted to start talking, I was going to say, will I ring up? Because I'll be on the bleeding show for an hour. Look, thanks. Keep up the great job. I love all your pods. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Christian. See you. Take care.
Take care, sir. Kane Walsh is a terrific part of the community.
A legend.
Yeah. TheCynic.co is our... basically where you can find out everything about what we do. We produce daily podcast content, but we also produce a raft of different interesting articles. Christian does all the stats. We've got a tactics and stats department. We've got lots of stuff. TheCynic.co, check it out if you're listening and you don't know much about it. We are producing lots of stuff. Christian, here's a question. Excuse me. Could, if we did a 2-1 pivot...
Mm-hmm.
See the one, that's a 10, right?
Yes, normally if you talk about 2-1 pivot, you would have, say, two more defending, more deep lying, you know, so somebody beside Cal McGregor and then somebody who's, yeah, in that sense, we know more older, the more centrally in the middle. So say, you know, Soro, McGregor, for example, and then either Turnbull or Rutschig in the middle.
Hear me out.
Okay.
Hear me out. Jota in the 10. I'm not necessarily saying tomorrow. I'm not necessarily saying next week. But is he a player that could develop into that number 10 role? Now, we know he's a winger. We know how he's playing and he's performing to a high standard. You could say to yourself, just leave him doing what he's doing, and that's fine. And I understand that. But with what we're talking about with Turnbull... you know, kind of meandering and...
Yeah.
Is there potential there, do you think?
I think there's two different things there. Is can he operate in the 10 space? So can he come more inwards? Does he have the quality and capability to do that? Yeah, I think he probably absolutely does have that. But I guess there's a couple of things there in terms of Ange's system. First of all, Ange, we know what he likes to do is how he's... when you start out quite wide, you know, essentially stretched. And the people who comes inwards for Ange is often his fullbacks. And often, if you want to play in a midfield three in Ange system, you need to do defensive work as well. You need to have that. So I think you can bring Jota inwards, but if you said, you know, McGregor and Soro and then Jota ahead of them, I guess kind of in scenarios in some games, you can maybe do that. But... I think it's working quite well now. But in terms of the pivot, because you kind of gave me a prompt for a pivot, for what you saw a couple of times yesterday looking back, it was very clear is that in Celtic build-up play, what they have is the two centre-backs. And what they have then is they have essentially three midfielders in front of that, but two of them are not midfielders. So there's points yesterday where both Montgomery and Ralston comes in and sits beside McGregor when Starfelt or Carmen Enriquez have the ball. And what that allows you to do, if you take some stills from the game, is that they sit kind of in front of that, against Ferenc Varos' defence. But then you essentially got four Celtic players above that again. So you have two centre-backs, then essentially three players sitting in the middle, McGregor, Montgomery, Ralston. And then you got Turnbull and Rodric and Abada and Jota kind of in the next line. And then you have Kyogo as well. So I think that's when we talk about, you know, how pivots and how many players you can have in the middle. The fullbacks yesterday become central midfielders when Celtic have the ball in the build-up. And I think that was really exciting for me yesterday. It's a really nerdy thing to get excited about. But it allows Turnbull and Rodric and players like Jota to kind of take up more advanced positions. And Abada and Jota staying out wide can stretch that and you give more space. So I think just that movement, not even moving the ball, but that movement of the fullbacks, it makes the opposition work. But what it also does a lot is see when Ralston Montgomery comes in, have a look next time and see how many times Turnbull or Rodric actually receives the ball quite far out wide, quite up on the opposition's half. It worked really well a couple of times yesterday with Rodric. See if he's outright, maybe he can find Abada with a lovely pass. It worked really well against Betis at one point. The same thing happened. Ralston comes in, Rodric pulls out, and he frees Ayeti. So it's those kind of movements. It's not just the passing that tires the opposition out. It's that movement, and they go, okay, who's getting that man? Do we have to change man? And so on. They all have to think, they always have to move, because they don't just have the fullback staying out wide where you can kind of just leave them. So that's what I really liked yesterday.
Yeah, we're not going to focus on this because we've talked about it enough. I just personally found Abada every time. I feel if you know James Forrest was in that position, or just Jota. Oh Christ, look what Kyogo did in the 5 minutes he played on the right hand side. Abada needs time out, I think.
I've been probably negative enough about some players on the right-hand side of Celtic today, and you talked a lot about, you know, on the reaction. I pretty much agree with what you said on the reaction about him. He just needs a break. Abada can be a wonderful addition to the squad, but he's got so much of his build-up play and progressing the ball he really needs to work on. I think he's played an incredible amount of football.
Yeah.
I think he needs to get a break. He needs to kind of develop some parts of his game, and he you know, he's had a dip in form, which is absolutely natural for a 20-year-old as well. So at the moment, yeah, he's one of those kind of cogs in the machinery that is not working at the moment.
Talk us through some of the stats, if you want to. I mean, I was about to say if you want to, but Jesus.
Do I want to talk about stats?
In terms of the halftime, the first half and the second half, is there a drastic change? I imagine there would be.
Yes, they're pretty much. I mean, I think if you want to look at stuff like XG, yes. You know, Celtic has a lot more XG in the second half, and Ferenc Varos has almost nothing. A lot to do with that is to do with the penalty specifically, and to do with Turnbull's chance. Instat, for example, has that down as an own goal, while Wyscout and Statsbomb has it as a goal. So, but overall, you know, between those three companies and the different XG, you're looking at around 3 XG, even without the penalty. And so, yeah, if you look at a graph of, you know, Celtic goals up in the second half, then they have a lot more chances, they create more, and that gives an output in the stats as well. But I will go back to my previous point, Christopher, that I think a lot of what the Celtic did in the first half allows that to happen in the second half. And it was a really satisfying game, is that Celtic just kept doing what they should be doing all game. I think that's why Ange was so pleased with it, because see, just keep doing it, even if it's 0-0, just keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it. And, you know, it's that famous, you know, clip from the training ground of Ange says, just don't stop, don't stop, don't stop, don't stop, keep going. And you get the rewards, and that was Celtic got yesterday.
I really do think, I think that's, I agree, and I think that's a very good point, but I just see if we had more quality in those positions. Like, you know, if Abada wasn't playing, if he'd taken time out and it was a Forrest or it was a Jota and Mikey Johnson was on the left, or first half yesterday, we get into some really, really great positions, and it was down to the individual player choosing, you know, not getting the ball in, not choosing the wrong kind of decision from a decision-making point of view. That's why I'm really positive, because I feel like once we get the players in the right positions, I think we'll start blowing teams away.
And that, I mean, maybe we'll come on to that, but that point about quality, I think is so easy to forget. And part of the reason why sometimes I emphasize Anthony Ralston's what I think of his quality is not essentially just to say, oh, and have a go at anywhere else. And it's almost a way of praising Ange Postecoglou and what he's doing. Because I'll give you a hot take, but I think if you look at the squad the last two seasons before this, you know, the best performing player in all those positions over those last 2 years. If you look at the team yesterday, I don't think there's a single player in the team yesterday, except for Cal McGregor, that would be an undoubted first choice over the best player in that position over the last two seasons. So I think even in every single position, you can make a strong case that over the last two seasons, you had a quote-unquote better individual player in that position. There'll be some close calls. You know, Kyogo, Edward, but Edward on top form, for example. Jota or Elianusi, but you look at where what Elianusi actually contributed over the last two seasons, what he could do in Ange's system, what he's doing in the Premier League just now. So, but that is not to say, oh, Celtic's terrible now. That's to say, look, Ange Postecoglou has, what he's working with is a lot less than what the previous manager is working with. And what he's able to achieve with what he has in a relative short time, I think is really, really encouraging. And it is proof to me the capability he has as a manager.
Yeah, the team against Lazio, they beat Lazio at Celtic Park 2-1. Foster in goals, El Hamed, Julien, Ayer, Bolingoli. Then Scott Brown, Ryan Christie and Callum McGregor, James Forrest, Edward and Elianusi.
Then you've got players like Frimpong is obviously not in that team. That's being a big part and so on. And Cham as well obviously came in their way. Like it's Lazio. So to be able to do what he's doing with the quality of players, yeah, and that sounds derogatory. It's not. But I think while some of those players can develop into really good ones, they're not even comparable. I mean, the centre-back, you know, I don't like to talk about Christopher Ayer. You know, I don't want to mention him too much. But, well, CCV and Starfelt are building something. The capability somebody like Christopher Ayer had offensively and his speed and his individual quality, it's so much more than what Ange has to work with his centre-backs. Those centre-backs are solid and they can pass out a bit, but, you know, he's having to work with his raw material that's a lot less. I mean, Frimpong and Ralston, for example, not to go there, but James Forrest, Elianusi, Ryan Christie in the number 8, because he's playing with Turnbull and Rodgick every game. And that is, they have individual brilliance, but if you compare them, what Celtic had the last two seasons, essentially the individual qualities now, the bright side of that, I think, is that now you have a system, a team that is better than the sums of the individual parts. In the last two seasons, especially last season, you had a team that was far less than the sum of the individual parts. So I think that is the really encouraging thing for me.
Kind of some thoughts on Ange Postecoglou post-match. Just some quotes. We controlled the first half well and they had to work hard to stifle us a little bit, but we still created some chances and denied them any opportunities. I agree with that. We knew they'd tire a bit second half because they were working so hard and the game opened up and we got a really good goal. After that, we could have had a couple more. Celtic really should have scored 4 goals. We should have, our XG should have reflected the scoreline.
Yeah, but it doesn't work like that though. That's just a random nature of goals for you, Christopher.
I mean, we missed 2 absolute sitters at the end. What do you make about Jackie McMamakis?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you can make too much out of that yet. I like that he's getting more minutes. I don't think he's a starter in any way. I mean, you know, there's a lot of things. Okay, can you move Kyogo out to one of the sides? Can you put him through the middle? I think you not at the start. You'd have Kyogo 60, 70 minutes doing those runs, doing what you do. And then Kyogo's so fit, you don't have to take him off at the 65 minutes to make it. You can just put him out on the wing and ask him to do more on it, but different running. So Ange just talked about this, having options off the bank. I think, you know, GG there is that, you know, he can come in, he can do something, mix up. You can bring somebody like Abada off to give him a break. You can switch Jota, Michael Johnson yesterday as well. So you're starting to get those options off the bench. So what GG is going to be like, I'm just going to call him GG now. What he's going to be like, I still think it's hard to tell from those kind of short bursts. But yeah, I mean, it's difficult to judge it, but yeah, I'm very open about him.
Yeah, I think he's just very different. He's a very, very different option, which I think is good to have different options, in specifically in the forwards positions. I'm in. I'll probably be out in about a month's time, but right now I'm in with big Jackie Jack Jamakis. Did you see the you sent this to me, the BBC Alistair Lamont and... Ange, and the question was, Ange, congratulations. Was that a fully deserved 3 points ultimately for you, do you think? What the fuck is that? What the fuck is that?
I just love the way he handles this. And that's not like, there's always a fine balance if you're a manager to, and obviously we're going to sit here and think, you know, Steven Gerrard does this sometimes, but he kind of does it in a, I don't even know how to. It feels almost like less genuine to me. He kind of tries to be clever. I'm supposed to call his stats. I think he's. I love the way he handles this press, but what you see is absolutely what you get with him. I bet if you came up and said something to him, you know, have you done the dishes? Do they not look clean? You know. I think that's. It's just that kind of like slightly passive aggressive needle, which I am a big fan of in every sense of life. And it's just, I just love the way he handles it. And I mean, if results aren't going that well, people will go, maybe he should just, you know, be a bit more humble or whatever. But it's just the way it is. You know, it's just.
Did you know how?
And I love it.
Do you know how he can? You know the thing you're saying there. If the results aren't going well, you know, people will question him a minute. Just have the results going well. Seems that would be fine.
That is the goal. If I was running a football club, that's what I would say to my employees.
To my buddies.
employees. I won't have any buddies if I run a football club.
You said buddies.
No friends. No. Just hard business decision. People. Win games, I'll say. Win games and we'll do well.
Wow. Well. Seems like it. Seems grim. His response though was, what do you think? And then he said, no, I'm asking you. Funny question to start with, and then he just goes on and he just dominates life. Yeah, I mean it's your standard sort of trying to undermine the manager. It's happened for as long as I can remember, so why should it change?
It's we sound like a broken record for this, but if you got Ange Postecoglou after a game, if you got 2-3 minutes with him, there's nobody else there. You know, you do the press and you could do so much with that. Like imagine, like if you just don't try to follow the set template every time, and you get the same answers and stuff. Like I mean, we talked about this a lot before, but you could have so much fun with Ange Postecoglou.
If you let independent media get their opportunity,
hey.
But that's not happening anymore.
We'll send Dave Flanagan on him. You know, yeah. Dave doesn't take any prisoners.
Regarding the, I know we have to kind of wrap up fairly soon. The Dave Cormack stuff, Aberdeen. What did you make of that?
I've only really like read the transcripts and stuff like that, and I think there's a balance there between that openness. I think we would like a lot more openness from Celtic board and engagement, and then also that balance of becoming like the story or becoming kind of a laughing stock. So there's always that. There is some openers, you know, down in England that is a lot more active on Twitter and then put stuff out. This is, you know, what we do. And I do. I'm not a fan of the way Celtic does the communication and their openness. I think that can be a lot more. You have to be a little bit careful. Would I want my owner to go on a phone-in? Probably not. But I would like them to be, you know, have an open communications and so on. And I think at least... I don't really care that too much about Aberdeen, to be honest, but Dave Cormack seems at least he's trying to do something different. I think the appointment of Stephen Glass is at least trying to think a little bit outside the box, maybe pressed right up until the box outside, but it's at least it's something. And I think if you want to talk stats, I think Aberdeen has been quote unquote slightly unlucky so far. I know he quoted some stats on the, you know, the Sportsman interview, and he's talking about if you look at our possessions and stuff, and I was like, mate, that's not the stats you want.
Who gives a fuck?
Like, you know, maybe he knows all about XG, he doesn't want to talk about it because somebody will call him a nerd. Yeah. But like, if I ran a football club, I would want to know about the very, very basic facts about how my organization is performing. And it's at least what he's trying to say is like, look, we have data that shows that this is, you know, we're looking beyond the results and we're confident in this. The kind of data kind of backs that up as well. So I hope they stick with Steaming Grass, to be honest, just because, you know, if it goes well, you know, you could kind of be rewarded for thinking outside the box. And if it doesn't go well, it's Aberdeen, so it's funny as well.
Yeah, I just thought, I agree with you that I'd like Celtic to have far more kind of open, let us know what's happening, like actually engage with us, because, you know, if you want it, if you want us just to be customers, you still, your customer service is terrible. And if you want us to be fans, we don't know what's happening, so fucking tell us something. But I just, Dave Cormack just comes across as, the tone of how he speaks in it, it's just, it starts to really ramble and loses. Well, they wanted to sack Robbie Nielsen, and look at that. Well, they wanted to sack, they wanted to sack Jack Ross this time last year, and look at that. And like, those points are fair and valid, but it's like the way he presented them was just, he kept interrupting, and it was just, it just seemed a bit.
Yeah, and I think he became, you can have openness, but yeah. you don't have to, I don't think you should get into the bit. Debate with journalists and stuff like that, you know. Yeah. Just keep it open, but I won't waste it.
Yeah, you're totally right.
Did you want to talk about short corners, or did you have something?
Well, I thought you were. I thought you were running out of time.
If you want to talk about short corners, because what's your problem, Chris? Talk to me.
I don't have a problem with the short corners or the corners, the set piece corners. I just have a problem with Celtic being terrible at corners. It doesn't matter whether short or whether they're long, you know. So, and I know short corners. I get the whole aspect of it, but at the same time, neither of them are working. So just, I think we should throw it in.
Well, it's
outside the box, Christian. Throw it in.
It's another, I listened to a podcast recently about, it's not a rival one, don't worry, about there's an interview with, you know, the Grenemark, the trolling coach. That, you know, he's, Liverpool hires him a lot.
Yeah.
And, but a lot of clubs as well. And it's just the way he's talking about it. And it's not just throwing it longer, but it's researching a very small side of the game, which just actually plays a bigger part than you think. And it's just
huge.
A club like Klopp. I mean, Klopp phoned them and said, you know, I'm interested in this. It's all about, it's a cliche, but the marginal gains, you know, it's the throwing coach, the set piece coach, the nutritionist. That's, if you ran a club, that's what you wanted. You want to look for those things anywhere. And I think, I don't know what's happening in Celtic in terms of set pieces and stuff like that, but you want to bring experts in and you want to try and squeeze every single last bit out of that. And corners is such, set pieces are such, a lot of stuff in about analytics companies are very much focused on set pieces because it's such an easy win.
Easy win.
So many of them. There are things you can prep for. You know, everybody knows where they're standing. You know roughly where their position will stand. If you have a very thought out methods about that, you can do a lot. Look at teams like Michelin and Brentford, who's essentially ran per data and how good they are at these things, because they know that's where they have to like get their gains. And it seems like just an open win. So, you know, Dave Cormack, go hire some throwing specialists. Set pieces. There you go.
That's it. Confirmed by Christian. Throwing set piece guys are the way forward. I agree actually as well. So such an easy win. Listen, this has been fantastic. The social live, something we'll maybe do more. There's lots of stuff coming up on The Cynic this week. We've got podcasts every day. If you're listening to this on the regular subscription feed or through your podcast app, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, thecynic.co. Have a look. There's lots of free content on there. And also, if you want to sign up, you can sign up for a month. Cancel if you don't like it. You know, it's really up to you. If you're currently listening, tell a friend. Thank you very much for getting involved.
And I was going to say, if you're raging at me for something I said, become a subscriber and you can be even more raging. Because yeah. I'm on these things saying things you don't like and lots of podcasts. So
yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, exactly. And you get there's a right to reply when you subscribe, and that's the main point of view. Christian Wolf, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much, sir.
I very much enjoyed this first version of Christian's phone-in. Thank you.
It's quite good, quite funny. I'm Chris Gallagher, and this has been The Social Live.